World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, it's been a crazy morning already here today in the Dobenmeyer household. It's getting cold out here in Ohio. We're going to do communion. Get your communion. Get ready. Getting starting to get a little bit chilly, kicked on the furnace light, then somehow, I don't know, the filter got sucked into it. It's crazy. You're crazy. So I've been spending the last few minutes trying to get that thing going on. Thank God for my wife. Anyway, here we are. We're ready to roll, folks. We got a kind of a spur of the moment. Not really spur of the moment, but in the last 3 or 4 days. You guys know I don't do a lot of guests. I just don't. And why? Like Rush Limbaugh always said, this show's about what I think. And it is. It's Coach Dave Live. And so I like to talk about, have guests every now and then, but this one is a knockout. Scott Shara, our amazing Grace, Gracie's dad, who was, Grace was killed by the hospital. Scott filed a lawsuit, and of course the corrupt courts ruled against him. Well, Scott is refiling, and we're going to talk about that today. You're not going to believe, you want to sit tight, because you're not going to believe what the hospital did to kill his Down syndrome daughter. Useless eater, right, Scott? She was just a useless eater. So I would tell all of you right now, call somebody, tell them to tune in, or at least when it's over, share the link to this show with them, because what Scott has is, I told Scott before we went on the air, what a noble, noble man he is, that he would fight this hard for his daughter. I pray that we would all do that. You know, it would be easy for us to call them useless eaters. It'd be easy, right? But she was a mentally challenged young woman who was full of life. And somebody made the decision that her life wasn't valuable. And I know Scott. Scott's not after vengeance. He's after justice. So we're going to get going on that here in a second. But Joe Carrico got up real early in the morning out there, real early in the morning, to lead us in communion, Joe. So God bless you, brother. Thanks for getting up. And
morning, Coach.
Morning.
Well, our reading this morning is John 6, 44 to 58. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Now that any man hath seen the Father.
Not that any man hath seen the Father.
Not that any man hath seen the Father. Apologies early. Save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life.
I'm going to stop right there a second. Folks, listen, we have to understand this. I was in a discussion with somebody the other day. Sorry, Joe, just bear with me a second. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will never die. You're going to change locations. And Scott Shara knows that Gracie isn't here, but she didn't die. She's never going to die. And the Bible says eternal life. It's eternal life. It says here, everlasting life. So she changed locations, right? She changed locations. But Gracie's, oh, God, she's alive. Hey, Scott, she knew Jesus, didn't she, Scott?
She was the closest person I've ever met to God. I yeah.
So she ain't never died, folks. She didn't die. They say we pass on, don't they? Pass on, pass away. Well, we pass on and away from this world, right? And it says in Ecclesiastes 7, in the eyes of the Lord, greater is the day of your death than the day of your birth. We shouldn't fear death. We really shouldn't. We don't understand it. It's like going on a roller coaster. You know, you get to the top of the hill and you don't want to go down. Boy, then you go down and say, "Woo, let's do that again." And so Grace is still alive. She's passed from death unto life, eternal life. We can rest in that. Go ahead, Jill. Everlasting, never-ending life. That's what awaits a Christian. Go ahead.
I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead.
Wow. Everlasting life and dead. They ain't the same, are they?
This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Mm. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews, therefore, strove among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Mm.
For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever."
Wow, that's powerful, isn't it?
Yeah.
See, we don't understand it. We don't understand the symmetry. We don't understand the language, what he's talking about, folks. Huh? What the Catholics call transubstantiation, that actually becomes the body and blood of Jesus. I was raised Catholic. I don't know if that's true or not. But certainly, it's the acknowledgement that Christ died for us in a natural, physical way. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, well, I was just going to comment that these verses are probably the strongest foundational verses for communion, really.
Yes.
Yeah. Most communion verses just go through the process, but not the foundation.
Right. Yep, right.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you with gratitude and a little understanding, a little better understanding for what you have done for us. And that just increases our gratitude. That we really can't comprehend that the Creator of all things, of the universe and multiverse and everything, Lord, would give his only begotten Son for us. Mm. It's so profound. So there must be something worthy in us, Lord, and you would not have done that. So we help us, Lord, this day to bring out that worthiness, to be ambassadors of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to do things as he would do them here, were he us, in the situations we encounter. So help us to remember, WWJD, what would Jesus do when we are in a situation where our flesh and temper want to take over? Let the Holy Spirit take over, Lord, and let us do what Jesus would have us do. Maybe it's turn the other cheek, maybe it's share love, understanding, or maybe it's flip the tables over. It just depends on the circumstances and what we as ambassadors should do. We have to learn to listen to him. And Lord, we know, remember that your sheep hear your voice, and help us, Lord, to hear your voice better, especially in these times we are in. So we ask that you guide and protect all of us here and our families and loved ones. We ask that you be with our country and the challenges it's in. We ask for those that are pretending to serve the country but acting against its interests. We ask that you reveal to everyone that what is happening and who are true and who are false. And the truth will set us free. Let this time of strife in our country reveal who is really a friend of the country. And for those that have been drinking the Kool-Aid for so many years, Lord, give them the antidote. Give them truth. And set them free. And so we remember, Lord, that this can be the meal that heals. So I encourage anyone who has aches, pains, things in their body that aren't as they were created to be, or in their spirit and soul that's just, they're off and needs healing. We ask that you help us receive this healing, Lord, with our faith, our mustard seed of faith that can grow into a tree. And we ask that you bless this bread and this drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed for us. We ask that you forgive us our sins and transgressions. So in this holy act, we are cleansed in your sight. And we come to you again with gratitude. And thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for getting up out there, Joe. Appreciate it, man. Take a nap.
Well, it's going to be a big weekend, Coach. I'm getting married on Saturday.
You're not. Hey, Joe, man or woman?
If you were closer, I'd box you for that one.
God bless you, Joe.
I mean,
hey, by the way, folks, did you see that? Before we get into Scott here, did you see that? Love him or hate him, man. Trump said no more trannies. Did you see? And the Supreme Court said that when you have got to identify yourself as a male or female, you can't be a tranny. You can't. The Supreme Court ruled that that's going to be the standard in America today.
You can't be a purple rainforest frog?
No. You gotta say you're either a man or a woman now. That's all it is. None of this tranny stuff. So, hey, we're winning everywhere we look. So let's get Scott in here. Scott, most of the people are familiar with you, and I'm sorry that I'm sorry everything you're going through, what you had to go through. Scott's daughter, I'm going to give a real quick background because most people know Scott's kind of a refresher. Scott's daughter had COVID, put her in the hospital. Put a do not resuscitate order on her, gave her all kinds of drug overdoses when nobody was around to keep an eye on her, and Grace died. She died. And Scott, being the good dad that he is, said, "I'm not going to take this lying down." And he's invested, I don't even know how much, a lot of money into bringing justice for his daughter. And, of course, ruled against him. Rigged trial, in my opinion, ruled against him. Well, Scott didn't lay down. He's now filed a motion for a new trial in the only COVID wrongful death case to go to a jury. So he filed it. And Scott, if I understand this right, they've accepted it. You now get to go present the evidence to a jury of what they did. Come on in, Scott.
Well, not yet. So what's going on is last week, Wednesday, I filed the motion for new trial. And I really didn't know what to expect. But on earlier this week, I think it was on Tuesday, the judge scheduled a hearing. So that's the step. So the hearing is now set for this motion on the new trial, December 11th at 3 p.m.
Well, we need to fast and pray for that December 11th, 3 p.m. Because, Scott, this will have certainly national ramifications, maybe even worldwide ramifications. And as we'll get into here, I read most of that stuff that you sent of your filing. Scott, it's unbelievable what they did. It's unbelievable. Now, from your opinion, as we get into this, how did they sway the jury, you think, Scott? And don't say anything you're not allowed to say.
But yeah. I mean, God allows me to say anything that I want. So I don't, you know, when we filed the first lawsuit, that was one of the conditions of the legal team. I said, I'm outspoken and I'm not going to be held back by the foolishness of the system. You know, the legal system is an antichrist system. It's part of the beast systems that Satan rules the world with. You know, it's we've been programmed to believe it's a justice system, but it's more appropriately called an injustice system. Right. So this filing is a rebuke. When somebody, if you take the time and read, it's a 32-page filing I filed. If you read it, you'll see that it's a complete rebuke of what the judge did. And it wasn't a rebuke of the trial. It's a rebuke of what's called motions in limine, which I'll get into second. But I want to answer your first question, which is how was the first jury swayed? Well, you know, that's nobody knows for sure. But, you know, the thing I do know for sure is that they were programmed. And how do I know that? Because I was programmed. I mean, I wouldn't have taken Grace to the hospital if I knew what I know today. So, you know, you have a jury that is obviously going to have a bias in favor of the hospital.
Well, they believe that COVID was killing everybody, and you took her to the hospital, and they did everything you could do to help your daughter. And
exactly. They
tagged on COVID, got her. Nobody made any mistakes. That's kind of it, right, Scott?
Exactly. And then the defense brought in five experts that testified to exactly what you just said, Dave. And on top of that, they testified that everything that the doctor did was within what they call the standard of care, which the standard of care is a variable concept, which, you know, the definition in a court setting is whatever a reasonable doctor would do in a same or similar situation. You know, so all they have to do is get their buddies to testify in favor of what they did. And, you know, so then the jury hears that they already have a bias in favor of the hospital. I mean, so it's no shock that we lost. You know, and, you know, the news conference I had right after the trial, I explained that God's sovereign. He knew we were going to lose before we ever stepped foot in the courtroom. And God is in the business of saving souls. So obviously God wanted his light shown on the legal industrial complex in addition to the medical industrial complex. And, you know, millions of people saw the trial live stream, Dave. And so, you know, people are waking up. Grace's death has saved a lot of lives. And, you know, if we would have won, you just process it from how humans think. And I'll just give, you know, so I'll give you an analogy after I say this. But I mean, how humans think is that if we would have won, they would have said, look, you can get justice in that system. Well, that if we would have won, that doesn't mean it's justice. Writing a check for $750,000 for my daughter's death, which is the state statutory cap, is not justice. It costs $1.1 million to do the trial. Wow. Yeah, so it's ridiculous. But that's how we think. I mean, if the government decided gas prices were going to be 99 cents a gallon today, you know, everybody would, you know, they already have their guard down, but they would completely let their guard down because, you know, that's how we think as a population. We are so dumbed down that we don't critically think anymore. So anyway, the review.
Interestingly enough, my commentary posted in News with Views.com today is that very thing. Says who? Right? Says
who? Yeah, I mean, it's no surprise you and I are like-minded because we're critically, you know, we're awake and we critically think. But you know, I was not awake before this thing that we're going to call COVID. It's hard for me to even use that word because of how much research I've done into COVID. I mean, it was a complete psyop. Anyway, the purpose of the motion, Dave, just to close
hang that. Hang on a second, Scott. Spencer, if you will, put his Substack in the chat so people can see that. We'll put it up on the screen here as you want to, Scott, but sure. Continue to talk. I want people to be able to go ahead.
So what's going on is, you know, this is something nobody knew happened other than, you know, me and the legal team on March 20th. So the pretrial hearing was May 19th and 20th. The trial was June 2nd through the 19th. So during the pretrial, you know, there's a number of things that happen. Actually, I want to, since that's up on the screen, Spencer, Ephesians 5:11, this is very important because this is the basis for the filing. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather rebuke them. And you see, I referenced the Tyndale Bible from 1526. So why did I do that? Well, because in July of 22, God gave me the message to not use Grace's story to expose evil.
Mm.
That's the modern translations. Look, everybody, look at your Bible. You'll see that it, you know, other than the original King James, they all use some version of the word expose. Well, Satan has to have the evil exposed. That's Satan's goal. Why? Because then he can resurrect himself as the false prophet, angel
father
of lies.
Yeah,
I mean, we have to rebuke evil. So this filing is a rebuke. And it's a specific rebuke of what the judge did on May 20th. So on May 20th, what was happening during the pretrial, we were going through what's called motions in limine. Yeah, we went through the defense motions in limine. I think they had about 23. And motions in limine are things that you each
evidence
party
are allowed to produce or not allowed to produce.
Exactly. Yeah, so I mean, it's just part of the game, you know. Yep. In their game, that's part of the game. So I mean,
you can show this evidence, but you can't show this evidence. Right?
Exactly. So I mean, you know, I knew what we were getting into there. You know, the legal team did a great job educating me. I mean, they should. I paid them an obscene amount of money to get educated. Anyway, the reality is that we went through the defense's motions in limine, roughly 20. There's 23 or so. And then we started talking about the trial being live streamed, and the defense, of course, didn't want the trial live streamed. We did. The New American Magazine had already petitioned the court to be the videographer. And so the judge brought this up for discussion. And the defense said, well, the New American is in the plaintiff's back pocket. I'm the plaintiff. And then we brought up that, well, plaintiff just gave an interview to the Milwaukee Journal and the Appleton Post Crescent, and you know, they're liberal, and the judge got angry, and you know, so we all get angry. You know, that's not the point, but what he did with that anger is that he said that the, you know, me giving an interview like that could influence the jury so close to the trial. I thought, well, that makes sense, but then he went on and, you know, he really went off on us. He said, Mr. Mendenhall, which is one of the attorneys, you may get a letter from me tomorrow saying you're off the case, basically because he didn't have control of his client, me. There's going to be consequences and they're all going to be on the plaintiff. And I have that inside the Substack, his exact quotes, because we have the transcript. So it wasn't just remembering this. If you scroll down a little bit further, Spencer, you'll see this. Keep going. Keep going. Yeah, right now. Yeah, there we go. So you can see my bold highlight. There will be consequences, and all the consequence is going to be on the plaintiff's side. So this is right out of the transcript. And so then right after that, we were going to get into our motions in limine, and he said, I'm going to deny the plaintiff's motions in limine in their entirety. So we never got through them.
You couldn't make a defense. You couldn't make a defense.
So what happened is our motions in limine were very specific about not bringing up my faith into the trial and not bringing up my beliefs about COVID and the hospital system.
So in other words, Scott, they wanted to make, huh? They want to make you look out like that you're a vaccine denier, that you're an idiot. And you said, no, you're not allowed to bring that stuff in.
Correct.
But the judge let him bring it in.
Yeah, he wouldn't even hear it. He wouldn't even hear our argument on the motion. So all of that got into the trial. So the trial ended up being about painting me as a conspiracy theorist.
Okay, let me stop you right there, Scott, because there are a lot of people who are hearing you for the first time, okay? Give me a two-minute overview of what they did, Grace. The do not resuscitate, all that stuff. So people understand the premise from which you're fighting.
So Grace's hospital setting was October 6th through October 13th of 2021. She was diagnosed with COVID. You know, I'm calling COVID a cold. We took her to the hospital because her oxygen saturation had dropped to 88%, and we were led to believe that's an emergency. Grace was fine. There's nothing wrong with her. When I brought her to the hospital, they convinced me to admit her under the premise that we're just going to put her on oxygen and a steroid for 3-4 days as a precautionary. So I thought, well, that makes sense. And I just want to focus the light on me there for a moment, because that sounds simple, but I've spent a lot of time understanding my motivations at that time. And the fact is I had succumbed to the propaganda, fear. And once you succumb to fear, your critical thinking checks. I had to repent for that.
Spencer, put my news with views commentary in the chat, will you? Because I'm talking about all this. Go on, man.
Well, I mean, I had to repent for that. My daughter is not here because of my fear. So when I shine, that does not excuse what they did. It's two separate issues. But it's very important. You know, God did not give us a spirit of fear. I had bought into the COVID narrative, and it's the way it is. And your title there, right? The average American is still gullible. Well, what's the reason they're gullible? Is because we've been programmed our whole life, and then they use fear.
Scott, you went into the hospital thinking they were going to help your daughter.
Correct.
And the reaction was they didn't want to help your daughter.
Yeah, so they gave her a combination of meds, Presidex, lorazepam, and morphine, which is what you use to euthanize somebody in their last hour of hospice care. And when it came time to revive Grace, at this point, I was with Grace from the 6th through the 10th. I was taken out by an armed guard on the 10th. Our daughter Jessica got back in to replace me 47 hours without advocacy. Grace, we'd never left alone. So she's in the hospital. This is how much I still trusted the hospital at that time. We didn't know she was on any of these meds. They give her that combination of meds. The doctor had put an illegal do not resuscitate order on Grace's chart. We didn't know that. And so when it came time to revive Grace.
They put a do not resuscitate order on your daughter's file without your knowledge. Did not resuscitate, folks. That means if she is passing away, they're just going to let her go. Is that right, Scott? Without your approval.
That's exactly right. And, technically it doesn't mean that, as I've drilled this down, it doesn't mean that you don't. So for example, they should have, our expert at the trial explained they should have given Grace Narcan to reverse what the doctor did. But the nursing staff, when we screamed at, to save our daughter, and they hollered to us from outside the room, she's DNR. We screamed back, she's not DNR. Because she wasn't DNR.
Do not resuscitate.
And they refused to come in the room, and we watched her die on that.
They would not come in and help your daughter live.
That's correct. So, I mean, that's what we wanted the trial to be about, is just those facts. And even in when you can just get the only about the facts, I mean, it's the odds of winning for the plaintiff in a medical malpractice lawsuit is about 1 in 10,000. It's extremely rare to win these, but that's not the point. When you get called to do something, you do it. And, the idea of settling, the reason I will tell you bluntly that there will, I don't think there will ever be another medical malpractice lawsuit that goes to jury trial with COVID on the death certificate. The reason is people don't pay their own way with the trial. So the attorney is in control, and they always settle because the trial itself costs $300,000. You know, so, you know, they're going to settle on the courtroom steps, right? You always hear this, but that's the reality. And then what happens is the plaintiff, as part of the settlement agreement, has to have a gag order permanently. So then they can never talk about what happened. And, you know, that's not what God called us. Well, he didn't call me to sign a gag order, that's for sure. And, you know, what's going on is, you know, we're trying to save people's lives.
Okay, Scott, at the heart of this, many of us know the whole, we only got, I'm just trying to hurry it along. We don't, some of us know this whole story, some of us don't. At the end of the day, Scott, what is the accusation that you guys are making?
That the combination of the meds, so it's a wrongful death case. It's a civil wrongful death case. So the accusation is, well, there was three. The first one is that the combination of meds is what killed Grace. The second is the DNR that was put on her was against the state statute.
Somebody put a DNR on there, and it wasn't you. It wasn't family, and it wasn't Grace.
That's
correct.
Somebody
said, do not resuscitate her.
And then the third is that the what they did was a battery. So it was done without our knowledge or consent, and the result was harm to our daughter. And how they got around the battery claim in the trial was they said that so we didn't even have any knowledge, much less consent, but they said you're giving implied consent when you cross over that threshold into a hospital. That was the most egregious part of the decision, in my opinion, and that should shock anybody to take action.
So, Scott, let me paint the picture here, right? Big pharma, big hospital, big doctor, big medicine. The worst thing that could ever happen to them was for you to win. And so they made sure, to whatever means that would be, that they put their thumb on the scale and made sure that certain things weren't allowed in court. Certain experts were allowed in court, but that you and your team really weren't allowed to present a true and honest defense. Would that be true, Scott?
Well, that's fair. You know, and that's why I filed the motion for the new trial, because how could the trial be fair? You know, think about the average jury member, you know, and so if they look at me as different from them, because of my faith and because of.
Yeah, you're a conspiracy theorist and you're a Christian. Huh?
Correct.
That guy's a kook.
So, right. I even said from the stand, you know, when the defense was hammering me, I said to the jury, I looked right at the jury, I said, they are right now, what you're witnessing is they're trying to make me look like a crackpot to you.
They're trying to prejudicial, right?
Yeah.
None of that stuff should have been in there, right? None of it, that you were a Christian, that you were anti-COVID, none of that should have been in there, right,
Scott? That's correct.
And they let it in.
And they let it in. Yeah, the judge specifically.
It was the heart of their debate. It was the heart of it. Because most of the people sitting on the jury trust science, trust medicine, right? Right, Dr. Paul? Trust in the doctors. They know what they're doing. And Scott's just a conspiracy theorist. By the way, he listens to Coach Dave live, all that stuff, right? The prejudice of the jury, right?
That's correct. Yep, that's the long and short of it. I mean, it's we're going to see what happens. I mean, you know, God has a way of doing things that are unexpected. You know, my perspective is the same as what it was with filing the first lawsuit, which is repentance. And so with the first lawsuit, if the doctor and nurse repented, we won. With this case, you know, they are not my enemy, Dave. The doctor and nurse who killed Grace are not my enemy. The judge is not my enemy. If the judge repents here, we won. You know,
it'd be nice if you threw a little bit of money your way too, let's be honest.
Well, it was interesting. I had a good friend of mine write me after I'd submitted that Substack, and he said to me, Scott, doesn't the judge owe you $1.1 million because of what he did to skew the jury? I thought, oh yeah, I didn't think about that before you mentioned it. That's true, though.
Scott, Christians don't sue. Have you heard that one?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, so the reason that has gained popularity, I believe, is, you know, Satan is the master deceiver. So there's some monster deceptions that Satan has programmed society to believe. And, you know, one of them, you can, I'll just start with an easy one so everybody understands what I'm talking about deception. So Satan wants us to believe in evolution versus creation. So that's a deception. Well, what I'm talking about here is Satan wants us to believe in actions versus the heart. He wants God to be a performance-based God versus a heart-based God. Mm-hmm. And so when, you know, Jesus showed us the way here, you know, when he healed on the Sabbath, you know, there's, oh my, you know, you're not supposed to do that. And, you know, Jesus called it out. He called him out. He said, you guys are, you know, Jesus was the most anti-religious person who ever walked the face of the earth. Religion is all about actions.
Amen.
I mean, that's just complete foolishness that, you know, so I'm not recommending anybody sue. I think it's complete foolishness to sue because you're in their Antichrist system. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't sue. I mean,
justice. That's the only place you get justice in our system. It's the only way to do it. Let me pause a second here, Scott. Dr. Paul Goslin, come on in. He's a doctor. I don't want you to say anything that you can't say, Paul. But what's your overall reaction here to what you've seen so far?
I can't agree with Scott more. There are a lot of twists and turns that the jury have no idea about. But I've been in medicine for roughly 40 years or more. I've seen it. I've seen the way it's changed over the years. I hope you guys will use this, and I hope Scott will use this as a resource also. This is, I just posted it. And this is what was the FLCCC. Are you familiar with Paul Merrick and Pierre Corey? They're intensivists.
I am very familiar with them.
Well, they would be a perfect witness for you guys. I mean, they hired five hired guns doctors to somehow create this idea of implied consent, which is nothing more than uninformed consent. Are you crazy? How much money did they get, right? I mean, I don't know, Scott. Anyway, well, I hope you look
in. You would be safe to say, though, Paul, wouldn't it, that if somebody screws up in the hospital, boy, oh, boy, they all huddle around him because they want to do everything they can to protect the guy, even though he might have screwed up. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it's almost like it's almost like the thin blue line. I don't know if you know this, Scott, but when I got shot in the street, when they posted the papers about me, it was all about me being a COVID conspiracy guy. Mm. As if being shot in the street was justified because I was, you know, the first physician in the country. It's my license.
And I'm going to open it up. Anybody wants to jump in here? Let's continue the dialogue, Paul. Paul, I appreciate it. Scott, I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm just trying to give an overview to everybody here.
It's great. I mean, this is the kind of interview I like best when it's back and forth. So it's great.
Yeah, because we really don't understand it. And Scott, it's so dangerous. Paul, it's so dangerous to the medical system because if you win this one, brother, it could be Katie bar the door. Would you agree with that, Scott?
Well, I agree, less the programming. You know, the people, they bow down to the white coat because of generations of programming. And, you know, that's so this has an opportunity, but it seems like, you know, we're in an echo chamber. The thing, so yeah, I want to cut to the quick here because people always ask, and I'm sure your audience, well, what do we do now, Scott, now that it's implied consent is the doctrine that you just exposed with your trial? What do we do? And, you know, the thing that I would tell you, the most important thing you can do is change your belief, because if you believe that the system is for you, it's not. We are the enemy. So until you change that belief, I can't help you. And so then what's the next step? The next step is more important than the first step, change your belief, and that is get comfortable dying. We are all going to die, and the fear of death keeps us participating
Amen,
in this
foolish game. Amen. Amen. Hey, Spencer, if you could, real quick. That's like a little frog this morning. Pull up that commentary because I want to show something. This was posted at newswithhughes.com today, and I don't want to mix this in, although it's on the exact same thing. Actually, I named it Says Who, Paul changes to the average American. Says who? There's says who, right? That's a question we ought to be asking. Says who? Says who? So scroll down a minute. I want you to see some lies. Go down, Spence. Yeah, keep on going. Keep it's bigger down. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. I'll give it up. So let me. No, no. Here they are. Okay, you ready, folks? How about these? How about these? Diversity is our greatest strength. Who are you to judge? Jesus loves everybody. I'm from the government. I'm here to help. Oswald killed Kennedy. Airplanes brought down the towers. I was born this way. Take the jab. Wear a mask. We evolved from apes. Preborn children are not people. I never had sex with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. WMDs. Don't mix religion and politics. Tyler killed Charlie Kirk. Biden is sharp. Our elections are honest. J6ers killed the police. Everybody goes to heaven. It's television. It's programming, folks. Everything is programmed. And so they tell us this, the doctor never makes a mistake. Oh, he went to Harvard. And poor old Scott Shar, he's just some clunk up there in Wisconsin. Hell, he don't know nothing about medicine. Yes or no, Scott? Yes or no?
Yeah, that's right on. I'd like to, especially, I want to just key off of your last word there, tell lie vision, because that's what it is. They tell us, it's interesting when you start doing etymology of these words, they tell us what they're doing right in plain sight. And that's part of the Satan's, he wants to get us contracted with him in the legal realm. And so they have to tell us what they're doing ahead of time. And that's an example. Break apart the word medical, med, call. So, but it's me, die, call. We're going to die by calling me die call. You know, this is right in front of us.
Scott, I hate to tell you this, this make people nervous. I tie the first part of this commentary into the church because the church is telling us lies too, folks.
Exactly. The church. Yeah. So the government, there's two halves of this thing that's going on. You have the government is, killing us, and then the church is lying to us. So we have a physical deception. That's the physical deception. The government is killing, the medical system is there to help. That's the physical deception. The spiritual deception is the apostate church, which is, denominations are from Satan. I mean, we got to get that through our head. When you realize denominations are from Satan, you realize, okay, the church is in charge of the spiritual deception.
Yes. So, Paul, Scott, I'm either going to have to move up by you or you're going to have to move up down by me because we're certainly seeing the same things at the same time. Jack McCarthy. Jack, by the way, come on in, Jack. Jack was just showing us a picture of his Down syndrome.
Hey, Mercy. How are you doing, Mercy?
Hey, Mercy.
Wow, Mercy, you look great. I miss you, dear.
Hey, folks, we're supposed to protect the vulnerable. We're supposed to protect the vulnerable.
Mercy, yeah. Mercy gave me a hug that was reminding me of Grace's hugs, and I miss you, Mercy.
I'm here, Scott. She's gonna cry, Scott. You're making her cry.
Stop it! You're making her cry.
Well, here's the problem. She's crying because of all the parents in the world. She got you, Jack. That's what she's crying about. Somebody come on in here. I've been talking for a long time. This is fascinating, friends. And if we cannot understand that the evil one is seizing almost everywhere we look. And the church isn't teaching us how Satan operates.
That's correct.
We don't understand. Satan has taken over the government. He's taken over the medical system. He's taken over the church. He's taken over the pulpit. He's taken over the schools. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. And the church doesn't want to engage in this battle. We just want the blessings of God to fall on us all. Isn't that really where we are? Come on in, Mel.
Well, good morning. Scott, you and I have spoken a little bit through Ohio Brett, but I love your podcast. I just wanted to kind of bring it up to the group that Scott has a great podcast called Programming with Grace's Dad. You can find it all over the place. I listen to him on Audible, but he has a lot of great content. I mean, he talks about the medical murder stuff, but he also has the White Pill content, and just he just is really shining a light on programming and how we all just kind of the first step is admitting that you've been programmed, right, Scott? And then
that's just kind
of move forward. So I love your work. Thank you.
Thank you, Mel.
Amen. Amen. Scott, what can we do to help? I'm pretty say I know what you're gonna say. Pray. Do you need money, Scott? I mean, you said you spend $1.5 million.
And we spent $1.1 million on the trial, but we have almost $2 million in this so far because we did a billboard campaign and everything else. So, yeah. So I'll just given Grace was my best buddy and her sense of humor, I'll just say right now, everybody, take out your checkbooks. I'm going to give you our home address, and here's the criteria: the check has to be signed and blank. Folks, you get that? Signed and blank. So I'm going to give you.
If you want to help Scott, send him a check. He said signed in blank, meaning he's gonna fill in whatever he wants.
Yeah, I'm gonna fill it in.
Can they send you money though, Scott? Can they send you a check?
Yes, they can. And we have our home addresses on Grace's website on the Contact Us page. In the upper right-hand corner, I want people to subscribe to our Substack because that's how I'm getting the word out. I mean, we're shadow banned all over the place. I mean, we get the word out through Substack, so that's in the upper right-hand corner. Right below that is our Give, Send, Go if you're inclined to give. I want to tease...
Spencer, put his home page up there, please. I'm sorry. So they can see.
And I'm going to have after we do that, I sent Spencer. So you see in the upper right-hand corner, it says subscribe to our newsletter. That's our Substack. I write a Substack at least every couple of weeks. It's been every week lately. And then donate to our Give, Send, Go. That's right below that. So you can certainly at this point we had to borrow money to pay off the attorneys, but it is what it is. It'll all come back. It's not our money anyway, Dave. I mean,
Hey, Scott, so here's a good question. Have any of these big Christian law firms tried to step up and help you at all?
No, I wrote to all of them at the beginning and nobody even responded, which is fine. I mean, we had two different organizations that wanted to sponsor the lawsuit. And as I started digging and realizing I can't have anybody sponsor it because then they're going to want to control it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, that is
hang on, Jack. I'll get right to you. So where does it sit now? You filed the appeal. When will the appeal be heard?
It's not an appeal. It's a motion for a new trial. That's different. So the reason, and I want to be very specific as to why, an appeal goes over the court's head. This goes back to the court. And so that's because I believe that's my biblical responsibility. This will sound really dumb, but I asked the legal team, when I saw this, I said, I have the judge's email. I say, can I email the judge and invite him to lunch? Because I just want to talk with him. And they, no, you can't do that. So, I mean, that's how dumb I am. But what can I do? Well, you can file the motion for new trial. And this judge is retiring February 1st. I mean, so we had to get the motion in. And so it'll be in front of the same judge that.
What was the reaction of your legal team or those that you had to take advice from? Did they say do it or did they say, you're wasting your time? What did they tell you, Scott?
Yeah, that's really a great question. So, they know who I am. So I look, I take advice, but that doesn't mean I want to listen, but that doesn't, I'm making my own decisions.
Trust but verify, Ronald Reagan said, right?
So the Wisconsin counsel said that he, because of the motion is based on newly discovered evidence, he said there's a legal principle called that your legal team should have either knew or should have known. And so that's imputed to you, Scott, this idea. So they either knew or should have known this, the newly discovered evidence. So he had to withdraw before I filed. So I filed this pro se.
You did?
Yes.
Folks, that means by himself.
That means by myself. That's exactly right. So if you look at the last page of the filing, you'll see it says Scott Shira.
One of the big things, again, folks, come on in if you have a question for Scott. Comes back to the DNR. Do not resuscitate.
That's right.
Well, that's for end of life issues. Your father's 90 years old and he's lived a good life. And so if he starts to fade away, don't resuscitate him. And Scott, that's not implied. They have to actually file a do not resuscitate. And you did not file a do not resuscitate, but somebody put that on the chart. Is that fair to say, Scott?
That's 100% accurate. Yeah. And not only is that, you know, that's immoral. I mean, anybody, you just think about a DNR is the most important document you could ever sign, right? And yes. You know, so that's immoral to have somebody else do that. It's also illegal.
The legal system's idea. The do not resuscitate was the legal system's idea, wasn't it?
And on top of that, we had a durable medical power of attorney. You know, so it isn't like there was a question as to what's going on. When Grace turned 18, my background is in estate planning. Well, not in estate planning. I'm a CPA. I'm a certified public accountant. And I did estate planning in my practice when I had a CPA firm. So, I mean, when Grace turned 18, we had a choice. We either going to do nothing, get guardianship, or in Wisconsin, they have a thing called supported decision making. Well, Grace was high functioning, so we did supported decision making, which means then you put together your medical power of attorneys. We had all the T's crossed, all the I's dotted the day after Grace turned 18. And Grace was 19 when she was killed.
Wow.
I do want to cover one thing. I see Paul's got his hand up, which we'll cover that. But before we have 9 minutes left, I want to have Spencer bring up my book cover. And I want to talk about that for just a little bit. Let's have Paul have his question first.
Bring up the book cover. Bring up the book cover.
It's the designation of DNR, DNI, and CMO, which is comfort measures only. DNR doesn't mean you don't treat. Okay,
that's correct.
I want people to understand that. And the idiot that actually did that wrote that in the medical record, tried to confuse everybody by saying, "Well, Scott wanted do not intubate, right?"
That's right.
Isn't that the truth? Right? Which is a smart move. But he says, "Oh, why? I interpret that." Do not resuscitate.
And that's exactly.
That's like changing a tire on a car when you want the oil changed.
It's crazy. You know what? You got a great case. Please just, and I'm praying for you, buddy. I don't have a lot of money, but I'll help you out. But I'll tell you what, man. Just keep persistent. I mean, I'm telling you, they want this time to continue, but you just keep fighting. And I know you will, but
Scott,
just remember,
man. Where do you buy the book, Scott?
It's not. It'll be released in January. So this is. I wrote the book. It's going through the edit process right now. What happened is after the trial, I took 3 months off before the trial just to work with the legal team every single day, bell to bell, 7 days a week. And after the trial, I started getting back into the spiritual research that I was doing. I really focused on Revelation 13, exposing these two beast systems that God says Satan rules the world with. Anyway, in August, then God put on my heart, write down all the things you've learned about the medical industrial complex. And I thought this is just going to be a short Substack, not short, a long Substack, like 10, 12 pages. Well, I started writing and it became a book. And so this is the book cover, is the government legally killing us? And you can see the subtitle, the evidence is right in front of us, but fear of death keeps us in the matrix by design.
So from my perspective, you got a crappy trial and the judge covered for them. Would that be fair to say?
I think that's a fair assessment.
Folks. Oh my God. Johnny, come on in.
Thank you, Coach. Scott, I just want to tell you that my heart goes out to you and your family over this. I'm actually from Wisconsin myself. I live over in Stevens Point. I wanted to find out, Scott, if I got in the show late, but I wondered if there is there a contact on your website, and what is the website of your the address to your website there?
Go ahead. Yeah, it's right there. OurAmazingGrace.net.
Put that in the chat for us, Spence, if you want. Our Amazing Grace.
The Contact Us tab. You can see the Contact Us tab there.
Johnny. Okay, and we could get a hold of you directly.
It doesn't have my phone number in there. I don't give my phone number out because people. It's.
But I mean, to write to you. To write.
Yeah,
to
you can. You can write to me via that. Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Scott.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Hey, Scott. I'll get. Hang on, Dave Allison. Let you in a second. Has the Christian world surrounded and helped you? Okay, yes. That's what I thought. Go ahead, Dave. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, real quick, Scott, blessings to you and you for hanging in the battle, brother. You've encouraged us all. One thing I want to say, if I'm going to see the jury in that trial, the only one question I'm going to ask the jury, did you strap a mask on during the whole time of COVID? That answers everything for me.
Good point. Good point. Great point. So, Scott, let me ask you this real quick. Just popped in my head. Be right with you, buddy. Hang on. What's the crux? What is it you guys have to prove, you think? In this appeal?
Well, what I believe has to happen is we need to have an overabundance of experts because people make decisions based on emotion. So we had one expert doctor, they had five. You know, that really influences the jury. Since I posted this Substack, I've had two doctors already reach out to me that said they'll be experts for no charge, assuming that we get another trial. And, you know, I would run, you know, it's going to be a different case. You know, I actually would consider doing the entire case pro se, which is odd to say that. However, I learned a lot about the legal system. You know, the attorneys, again, did a great job educating me, but there's certain things that, you know, I listened to them, some things I disagreed with, and, you know, they had to follow my lead because I'm the one paying. But there's other things I followed their lead that I would not do again.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Betty, quickly.
Yeah, okay. Good morning, Scott. I will make it quick. It's great seeing you. My heart's you still broken, and people need to buy your products too, because what a great way of advertisement. And I got Gracie's picture on the back of my window, and people have asked, and I have just spread the word. And you know, we need to stand up for what you're fighting for. My so that would be great advertisement.
At the OAG store, is that what we're talking about, Scott?
Yeah. Those really help spread the word. I mean, that we have.
Yes.
You know, vendor runs that. So, I mean, there's only $2 per shirt that is made by us, but that's not the point of me. It's to try to spread the word. So these shirts, right. They're very high quality.
But it'd be better to send you a check than buy a shirt. You get more money if we send you a check, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's right now. That's the need. It's certainly a need. I have never asked for money, but this is the first time. You know, it's a different. We're at a different place today than we were.
Don't be ashamed of that, brother. Don't be ashamed.
I didn't mean all that, Coach. But I believe
I get it. I get it.
Spread the word because then people would check out the site.
Yeah, we need to help this guy. We need to help him. Jack, come on in.
Yeah, the principle. Good morning, Scott. The principle of implied consent is woven through all kinds of stuff. Whether it's a birth certificate or a driver's license or a marriage license, this is implied consent has been strangling us for years and we don't even know it. So I'm so glad that that's one of the primary tenets of your suit.
I can go off on that because that's the legal realm. Satan is operating in the legal realm. And so when we sign our tax return, you know, the birth certificate, all that. Here's the whopper, what, you know, people have thrown a lot of stones at me for this one, but voting is the biggest deception of all.
I'm going to move. You got to move down here.
if voting worked, Scott, it would be illegal.
Hang in there, Scott. We're going to go off the air here, but we'll remain here for the after show. And folks, what they have done, this is such a landmark thing. If Scott Shara wins this, if he doesn't win this, folks, they're going to be able to put a do not resuscitate on you. Right? Huh? They're getting away with it, man. God bless you all. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.